Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. For the past few weeks, we've been sharing together on fruitfulness. The word the Lord gave us in the course of, at the beginning of the year, that this year has been proclaimed and declared our year of what? Our year of fruitfulness. The emergence. Hallelujah. And I think we have had two meetings on fruitfulness. Wow, the ACs are coming on. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the sweat we reduce now. Amen. The first lesson we had, it told us that from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. It says, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wow. Media, this thing is very foul. How are we going to cope? I thought I was going to count on you to be sharing scriptures. Ah, it is well today. Okay. Let's deploy wisdom quickly. Hallelujah. The first lesson we learned was that God blessed them, not one person. He said that both of them should be fruitful. And we saw that fruitfulness is not sweet when it's only sweet when two people are involved, right? That was what we taught. That was what Rev taught us that day. That fruitfulness is sweet when two people are involved. That it is not one man fruitfulness, but both of them. He blessed the two of them, and that both of them to replenish. So it's not given to man alone to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and have dominion. It's a mandate for both female and male, for both man and woman. Hallelujah. And then it made us, it took us again through the journey of Isaiah chapter 5 from verse 1 to 2. Right now I will need your projection. Isaiah 5, 1 to 2. Where he was saying to us about how the husband man invested so much in this vineyard. But at the end of the day, what he invested is the result he got from his investment was what? Who can remind us? Wild grape. Wild grape. Making us to understand that God has invested, God has and is still investing so much in our life. But whatever it is that we produce at the end of the day is left to us. But what he is looking out for is that his investment, God is an investor that wants to reap from his investment. Hallelujah. As an investor, every one of us work one way or the other. It's either you're doing business or you're working somewhere. Wherever you find yourself, you are either looking out for profit or salary. Meaning that you're looking out for something in that place you are. You don't want to go there wasting your time. God doesn't want to go. God is constantly looking at the earth. And is looking out for profit. It's looking out for life that will bear fruit. Hallelujah. It's not looking out for people that will bring out wild grapes. It is disheartening to him when he discovered that what he has taken so much time, pain to invest in us, at the end of the day, what he's getting is far different. Then last week, we started with the definition of what fruitfulness is. And we saw that fruitfulness is a state of not being barren. Then we read in from the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, where we saw again how there was so much investment in this this plant, but at the end of the day, what came out of it was a degenerated plant. He said, yes, I had planted thee a noble wine, a vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerated plant of a strange vine unto me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to take it off from where we stopped last week to continue with what we read in John chapter 15 when we started looking at the vine, the husband man, the wine press. Today, we'll be looking at the pruning process. The pruning process. Can we look at John chapter 15 from verse 1 to 3? John 15, 1 to 3. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Please, can I have New King James Version for the reading, so that it will help our thou dwelleth does it. It will help us. Thank you. New King James Version. Thank you. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Let's go back to verse 2, please. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away, or he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Hallelujah. You see, this year is our year of fruitfulness. Good. It's the promise to us that we should be fruitful, we will be fruitful, we are going to be fruitful. Fruitfulness. Hallelujah. But God wants a kind of fruitfulness. He is looking out for a type of fruitfulness. He's looking out for a type of fruit. Not wild fruit. Not wild grapes. But a kind of fruit. But for him to achieve that kind of fruit, he needs to do some work. It is him, the husband man himself, that does the pruning. Hallelujah. I don't know if you have plants in your home, you have trees in your home, you are planting one thing or the other. You know that for it to bring forth season after season, you need to do some level of trimming. Hallelujah. So that if that plant has mouth to talk, it will say, no, don't prune me. Just like if God wants to do that work of pruning in our lives, we will first of all want to reject it, walk against it, war against it. No, don't do this. Don't cut. It's like women now, when we go to the salon, especially when we retouch our hair. Oh yeah, trim my hair. Trim the. No, don't trim it. And see, if you trim, I trim it, it will grow longer. No, you cannot understand how trimming of hair can produce growth. But that is how it works. But for you to get the beauty of a plant, for you to get the beauty of whoever you want to become, you need to go through the cutting. And what is the cutting? The cutting of the flesh. The flesh must be brought under subjection. It must go through a level of cutting. And for the flesh to be cut, it will cry out. Hallelujah. God, who is the creator of man, the husband man himself, every time he looks at man, he has an expectation. There is something he is looking out for at different times. You see the Bible talking about God looking out for something. Sometimes he's saying he's looking out for a man. Sometimes he's looking out for something. But this time around, what he's looking out for is a seed-bearing people. A tree that will bear fruit. That was why, like we saw last week, the story of the fig tree. When Jesus saw the fruit tree, the issue with that fig tree was that it did not have fruit, but had everything. It was so beautiful. In fact, he brought out green leaves. So his expectation was that as I come close, he has been sighting, looking at this from afar, and he's been hungry, that let me get close and quickly get something at least before I get to where I will get real food. Only for him to get there and discover that this thing was completely empty. My God. May that not be our life at the end of this year in the name of Jesus. That God is looking out for you. You speak so much tongues. You are robust. But nothing is coming out of you. No fruit is coming out. I had to recently, just over the weekend, I had to dispose some of my animals. One of the animals I disposed of, after a year plus, refused to bear fruit. As at that time, I expected it would have gone like 2 rounds. But this animal refused to even bring out as much as what we call eat. Nothing. We kept, and it's a very good, supposedly good animal. Special breed. I expected so much from it. We waited on it. And I discovered that it wasn't yielding. And I was spending so much. Straight to the market. When the people that came to buy it came, they said, this is good meat. Good meat. It was fat. Not with fatty. It was good flesh. But guess what? It did what I trained it for, raised it for, was to bear fruit. But after, lo and behold, after all the investment on it, it yielded no fruit. Therefore, straight to the market. It yielded some cash, good cash, quite all right. But that was not what I was looking for. I expected it to have reproduced itself. So that even when I'm disposing it off, I will be looking at the fruits that have come out of it. What are we bearing? It's a question. God has invested. You have been a Christian 25 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, even if it's 1 year. I was speaking with our choir members, which there was, I said, you see this auntie Faith, I said, very soon she will gap all of you. I enthusiasm. She's just like less than a year, less than 6 months with us. But you can see her putting in all the effort. I am entering into this place. I know what I came for. That's how she entered. And she's focused on what she wants to do, what she wants to achieve. My life must bring glory to you. We sang that song. Aye me, Bola, it must bring you glory, sir. My life must bring you glory. My life must bring you forth fruit. And those fruits, I will not only bear fruit, but those fruits must do what? They must abide. They must abide. By the time we are ending this year, you must be able to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as many people, as many as you can have that you have encouraged. That are here because you encouraged them. They are here because you spoke to them. They are here because you took the pain to give them a call and check up on them and ask, why are you? I've not seen you. You have taken time to ensure that you preach the gospel. You bear fruit. You know, many of us, God has invested so much in us. We are carrying so much grace. So much ability. So much has been invested into us. But what are we doing with what he has given to us? God is not just a wasteful investor. And one of the scriptures that always touched my heart you know, anytime I read it, is that of the talents. The talents, the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. You will think that, is it just not talent? Maybe they do talent on here. Eh? You don't think it's talent, it's showcase of gifts and all. But you need to know how God is interested in that which He has given to you, even if it is one. The one that He gave 5, the one He gave 2, it was for him, He gave everybody. That was what was important. I gave everybody. Whether I'm giving you 5, or I'm giving you 2, or I'm giving you 1, I have given you all. It's what you make of that which I've given to you that is important. I want us to read it quickly. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, and to each according to his ability, his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he, who had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he, who had received 2 gains, 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and ate his Lord's money. And a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He did what? He settled accounts. There's a song that says, and the old accounts were settled long ago. God is going to settle accounts. He's going to settle because that thing is putting in your life, right? It's called investment. If we want to use our own time, our own kind of communication, I would say we invested money. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, who you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered, scattered seed. Thank you. Then, and I was afraid, and went and eat your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money at least with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own money with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did you think that not using that which God has given to you can be this serious? That it counts it as you being an unprofitable and wicked servant. Someone that is wicked. That how will God have invested so much into us, and at the end of it, he cannot gain profit. He sees it as grievous, as wickedness, and as bad enough as something that he should throw you into hell for. He said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Each time I read this scripture, he gives me a burden in my heart to check again, Lord, am I doing with what you have invested in me, am I doing enough? Or am I doing at all? Am I doing what I should be doing with what you have given to me? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to account for the things that you have put inside of me. Hallelujah. What gifts has God deposited inside of us is the question tonight. That which he has put inside of us, for him to gain profit from it, he would have to do some chiseling. He would have to do some cutting away. Because, you see, what is pruning to start with? It's a painful process. It's not like gold. When gold has to go through, for gold to be what it is that you admire, you want to wear. You want to dazzle with it. It goes through a process. And that process is a painful process. And that painful process is fire. For it to come out as gold. He said, when he is done with me, I shall come out as gold. You will go through a process, brothers and sisters. We will always go through a process. When you are going through your process, you need to check, Lord, is it you doing this in me? Are you the one, I'm going through this difficult time. Is it you? If it's the one involved and it's not a demon involved, it's to make you 10 times better. It's going to bring you out and you will come out as gold. Don't jump process. We are going to go through process for us to bear the kind of fruit God wants us to bear this year. We are going to go through a refining process. We are going to go through some measures of pruning. Like we are here now. There are some levels of responsibility. Owning a place like this is going to be on our shoulders. There's a level of responsibility. There's a level of issues. You know, there are some level of discomfort it's going to bring to us. Even though it's a beautiful place, but it will bring in a lot of discomfort. God wants to cut excess flesh. He wants to cut off some of those things that is not worthy of him. Hallelujah. So pruning is a painful process. Pruning pruning means to cut away, remove, trim, so as to encourage growth. Please write that down. Pruning is done so that you can grow. It's a cut away. It's a trimming down. Even physical trimming down, fasting is part of the pruning process. When the Lord is demanding of you to fast, hallelujah, you are going through a particular, you know, some people say, I am going through loss, I'm going through this. And you don't know that for you to come out as gold, to come out refined, you must go through a process of pruning. That thing that you love to do. That thing, that desire that prunes, that encourages and bears that lust would have to be cut away. It would lead to, it could mean fasting, it could be praying, it could mean stopping down on TV for years. Or stopping down on some of those things that you love to read. Pruning, we cut off the flesh. And whatever the Bible says, the flesh and the spirit are always at war. Always at war. So if the flesh would have to be cut away, it means that the spirit will gain some level of robustness. It will gain level of freshness. As long as the flesh is constantly being cut off, the spirit will gain capacity. So as long as you want to allow the flesh to be pampered, you know that you are suffering something. Something else is, because both of them cannot be enjoying at the same time. You cannot be fasting and be excited at the same time. You know, as you are fasting, oh, there's something happening to the body. It's called hunger. Yeah. When you are fasting, there will be something happening to the body. Right? So if you give yourself to the Spirit to prune, if you give yourself to the Lord to prune you, you will come out as gold. You will come out refined. You will come out better, 10 times better. Hallelujah. So what end is our fruitfulness if God does not profit from it? So what end is our speaking in tongues if God's people are not being blessed? Because the Bible says that the gift is for the edification of the body. But is your gift really edifying the people of God? Hallelujah. Can we see 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13? Very common scripture, which we read, but sometimes don't pay too much attention to. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass, or a changing cymbal, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Maybe just hold that verse. We'll continue. When we talk about fruitfulness could come in so many forms. It could come in form of prosperity. God, we are trusting God for a year of prosperity, that in the midst of famine, that we will live in what? In plenty. But when the Lord bestows so much good into us or unto us, and we do not know how to give, or we give in such a way that even God himself is not glorified. Because from here, he's saying that you do as much as give the poor. He said, and you have not, you are giving it without charity, without love. Maybe you are giving it so that other people can know that you have given. He said, and though I give even your body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits you, me, nothing. Next verse. He said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Hallelujah. Let me just stop there for now. You see what pruning does? is that he wants to build a certain kind of character in us. They say that charisma without character, it will take you somewhere, but it will not keep you there. What pruning wants to do, when God wants to make us fruitful, he wants us to be able to carry our fruitfulness with grace. He wants us to be able to carry this level of fruitfulness with so much ability that which you have can benefit not only man, but the kingdom. So he does that pruning, that cutting off excess flesh, the pride. You know, some of us, God will not allow us to be rich quickly. He will be giving us small. You want it big, but he's still saying, I will give you one after the other. Small. Why? Because he knows your tendencies. So he withdraws those privileges. Like we do to our children sometimes. We withdraw those privileges from them so that they can have a little bit of self-control. So sometimes God will do those pruning to build in us capacity, to build in us level of self-control, so that when the wealth comes, you will not embarrass him. You will not embarrass him like some of our brothers are doing today. Like Papa will tell us, don't take off like a tornado. Take it one step and follow the process. Follow the leader. Let him chisel. Let him cut off. Allow the process. Don't run. Don't circumvent the process. Allow God to take you through that process so that you can become what he wants you to become. If you don't go through those processes, when you become big, you will not be able to handle it. And you know, Bible says, ill-gotten wealth will fly away like a bird. Because you have not gained the capacity to handle those things, it will disappear in no time. But with grace, with ability, with that which God is taking us through, the cutting of the excess flesh, the end result of it is that it will yield unto us stability and growth. Hallelujah. Many of us are not stable. With little discomfort, we are off. With little challenges, we are off. If you said me, I'm not going to go to church again, it's a brother. You are off. For some reasons, there's not so much, but you are off. I used to share with my choir members. I remember there was this brother in one church that we were before now, that he said to us, he was our choir master. He said to us that, I don't have enough resources. He's married. But he said, I don't have enough resources. I have just small cash, and that cash might only bring me to church and take me back, but I don't have offering to give. But he said to himself, I will give my life. If it will mean trekking for this God's business to be achieved, I will do it. I might not have so much, but I will ensure that this work does not suffer. When God was going to smile on him, someone that before he left this country to Canada, he was so healed. We didn't even know that this man was going through such illness, such pain, that he was pulling blood. But all of that while, he was never absent at his position. At his place. When God was going to look at him and smile on him, he gave him opportunity to travel. And it's as we got there, he said, all of these things that I've suffered, I didn't experience it anymore. I didn't see it anymore. The IBP, the all this, the all that is all gone. I said to them, I said, God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Your resources is, you might not have so much, but there's something God is looking out for. He's looking for that heart. A heart that will be, that will yearn for him, that will long to do his will amidst all difficulties. He's looking for people that he can call in the middle of the night and say, pray on behalf of this brother. And he will be sure and guaranteed that you will not sleep off. God is looking for men and women that will commit to his business. Whom at the end of the day, he can make profit from. At the end of all of this, there's something God is looking out for pruning, in pruning. Pastor Toby. What he wants to see at the end of this is that your life is stable in him. A level of growth is achieved in your life. Same I was saying with my people, always saying one thing or the other with them. I said to them, I said, if anything you will desire this year is growth. If you desire anything from God this year, Lord, let my life grasp a level and a measure of consistent growth in you. I will not be classified among those that will rise and fall this year. You will give me that grace, oh God, that I will climb. Yes, there might be times of weakness because we are human. But you don't stay in that weakness. You don't remain there. As long as you have that desire and that ask that, Lord, I'm not going to remain in this level. I'm going to grow. I'm going to stay out. I'm going to, if it will take me retreat. You work Monday to Friday, but you can do Saturday and Sunday retreat. At least once in a year. Sorry, once in a month, if possible. Or once in 2 months. Whatever it is that can make you grow in the spirit. And most importantly, stable. It's not today that we are looking for you. It is, sister, if you know what I'm going through right now. Hey, we are all going through. Yeah. You know, in going through things is in levels. It's in levels. In your own level, you are going through one. In my own level, I'm going through one. Because God allowed us to have so much infirmities because we are man. So that we will constantly have reasons to look to him. He's our father. If you got everything, you will not even want to. That's why he says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. We always would have infirmities. So don't stay thinking. You know, one of the captions, if I send you an email with my Yahoo, you see that there's nothing hidden under the sun. And there's nothing new, under the sun. It's one of the captions that liberated me. What's one of the captions that liberated me? Because the enemy wants to make you feel that you are the only one going through what you are going through. So that he can perpetually leave you in that level, in that state. But lo and behold, you are not the only one. That's why we stand here most of the time to share experiences, share, so that you know that you are not the only one that will or has ever got there. But God allows you to go through it so that you can become what he wants you to be. You can grow in capacity, in stature, and then you can help others. But as long as you don't come out of that level, you cannot help others. It was my husband that he said this. He said when he was going through his stuff and he hit someone and the person wanted to win, he said, he that is down is ten or four. You know, because as long as you are down there, you are not afraid of falling. You are already there. But God doesn't want us to be there. He wants us to be able to stand and say, Lord, like David did, encourage yourself in the Lord. And gain this thing called the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The end result of pruning is that it helps you to bear fruit. God doesn't just do anything anyhow. He does it so that there's something that will come out of it. And what he wants to come out of it is fruit. Because he's not a wicked God. He's not a wicked God. Like I said some time ago, when I had to go through some challenges, especially when I was in school and all, those were the days I gained the strength that I'm running with even till now. Those days. That's some of the strength I'm running with now. I gained those things in the place of pain, of difficulties, of disappointment. That was when I gained most of my capacity that I have today. It was on Saturday. I was exhausted. I was tired, and I was actually apologizing to my body. I'm telling myself, sorry. Why? Because I was turning between, am I growing older or what? This is something I will do, and you know, go for run video, go from video to class, from class, you know, like that. We'll be running, and you know, this body has gone through some level of pruning. But on Saturday, he got to a point. He said, "I can't take it anymore." I said, "God, no. I am not going older." The Bible says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. That was what I was using to try to encourage myself. But yes, it showed a little level, not really, a little level of advancement. You know, so, if you understand that God has given to us, the grace that God has given to us is enormous. He is looking for those that we use, that he can prune so that they can become better. He will allow you to go through some tough time. Maybe it's in your marriage, and you're about to give up on that marriage. Meanwhile, God is trying to make you stronger. He's trying to make you... God doesn't tempt anybody, the Bible says, for he can test you. He can allow you to go through a certain level of difficulty in your marriage, all because he wants to give you a level of stature and capacity. You might not have gained that capacity. You might have missed some of those classes. But as you get to this class, God will say, no, this one, you must pass this test there. You must pass this one. But the easiest way we want to go about this is for us to escape. For us to escape. And what's our escape route? Divorce. Separation. Rather than face it, and say, in my lifetime, this is not going to happen. My marriage is not going under. I will stand. I receive grace. I receive strength. I receive ability. I receive the stature to remain. Some of what we are going through now, some of our parents went through what? But they didn't leave. But because there's this open window that the enemy seems to have opened, and it's the easiest way to end in it. And some people just go ahead and say, even if I divorce, it doesn't really matter. Okay, that will not just marry. But there's something God wants you to learn through the process. He needs you to trust Him. He needs to prune you so that you can bear fruit, so that you can help other women to be able to stay in their homes and help their spouses. Help the men, help their spouses. Help their children. Remain there until something happens. I'm praying tonight that God will give unto every one of us the strength and the capacity. Finally, the reason why God wants to prune us is so that we can be useful and usable. He wants us to be useful and usable. Many of us will stand and sing, if you can use anything, Lord, use me. But you don't want to go through the process of Him using you. Everyone, we looked at the life of Abraham as one of the case studies we started with this year. And remember that God had to make Abraham go through that process. He chiseled him for years. And at the end of it, he was accounted to this man as righteousness because what? He had faith in God. There's something God, what Abraham produced out of that process he went through was faith. And today he became what? A father of faith. That you and I today can, we are still talking about Abraham today. Because he remained, he stayed, he waited for the promise. He learned faith by the things that he suffered. What are we willing to suffer? Can we rise on our feet as we begin to bring this meeting to an end? What are we willing to go through like Abraham? Abraham became the father of faith, not just because he was a big man, or a rich man, or an healthy man, or whatever man. But he went through a process. A process. Some of us are already going through our process. Some of us will yet go through our process. Some of us will still be refined as God will continue to refine us. But what He wants to do is that at the end of the day, we will bear fruit. And that our fruit may remain. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be usable. He wants us to be usable. He wants us to be usable. He wants us to be useful. Can you say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. As I go through my process, Lord, help me. Grant me grace, O God. I want to be useful in your hands. I want the kingdom to profit from my hand. I want the kingdom to profit from my life. Oh, Jesus, I want you to bless. Oh, Kaila, both in the Kaila, and Rekatum de Lede Kostan Taima. Allah, Ayakomba Latan Taika, both on fire. Lord, I will not die in process. I will not die in my process. I will not die. Oh,
Jesus of me.
Come forward that you may receive strength and grace to this table. the Bible says that if you are, if a God cannot do anything with someone that is not stable, you waver like the wave of the sea. God cannot do anything with you. He cannot do anything with you. As you have come forth, can you raise your hands and begin to speak to the Lord? And say, Lord, walk upon me. Give me grace for stability. Give me grace for stability. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow, Jesus. I want to grow. Lord, touch my life. Touch my life. Walk upon me. Change me. Touch me. Touch me. Take away that thing that makes me to rise and to fall. Walk upon me. Walk upon me. Lord Jesus, look upon your children. Look upon your sons and your daughters. And cause them, oh God, to remain stable. Cause them to remain stable. Can you speak to the Lord? Come and speak to the Lord as you are out here. Speak to God. He wants to hear you speak to Him. He wants to hear you speak to Him. As our Father, we pray for you.
Tonight that the Lord has been so merciful to us by speaking so plainly and clearly to our hearts. And I just perceive in my spirit that so many of us have come again to decisions. Some of the people that have come to decisions are in front. They step boldly out. Some of us are there. We are also taking decisions. We came into the kingdom by our decisions because the Lord drew our heart. We also responded with decisions. One of the parables of Jesus that makes me tremble the most is the one we are dealing with today. And that is John 15, especially verse 2, when he said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. So it's not even up to Jesus what happens to the body of the vine. It's the Father. And he said two important things. He said, if there is any branch that is in me, that bears not fruit, what will my Father do? And that makes me tremble. That you can actually be part of Him and the Father will cut you off. And if it's Jesus that said this parable, it makes me tremble. It makes me revisit my doctrine of abiding in Him. That's what is the fruit? The fruit is the Father has an expectation. Not your expectation. His expectation. And if you wait, like Mama waited for the animal to bring fruit, and the fruit was not forthcoming. And she called it, God has that prerogative of deciding who stays in the vine. Not even Jesus. That makes me tremble. Now you can be in. And the Father says, we waited for you enough. Out. Or you think it's not Jesus that said that? Well, Jesus has said that. He said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He said, if there is any branch in me that bears not fruit, I will keep wasting resources. If it doesn't bear fruit, what will I? What will the Father do? He will what? He will cut it off. Take it away. Maybe somebody wants to cry like I was crying. Father, may I not go to a point where I will be taken away? You don't get it. Now, you could have been taken away and you are still very active among us. It's a serious matter that Jesus raised there. The branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. It looks to me as if we must find out what is God's expectation over our lives. Because fruit is not actually what you think you are showcasing. Because you can showcase leaves and Jesus is not pleased. You can be attractive and not productive. You can be very attractive and not productive. And what Jesus is actually saying is, the Father is looking for the productive ones. He will not keep investing without getting return. So, the fact that you are in today is only going to be secured if you bring forth the Father's expectation. Do you really want to bring forth the Father's expectation? Now, look at the second one. The second one is this. He said, if there is anyone that bears fruit, my Father will introduce a process. And that process is, He will prune. I didn't like that. And you know what? Process is God's prerogative. He doesn't take permission. He won't ask you, which one should I cut? So we can cut off friendship, cut off relationship, cut off partnership, cut off, with the intention of seeing more fruit. Because the business of the Father, while He watches over the vine, is what gladdens His heart is when the flowers begin to bud and He sees fruits are coming. It's not how leafy, how crowded, how attractive it looks. I can cut down leaves to see more fruits. That's what it says. I will downsize to see more fruits. It looks to me as if even when you are bearing fruit, you can't even also decide what the Father does. He decides by Himself. The first thing I want you to do this evening, you see, the vessel God has used for us has taken us through a journey of coming to a standpoint of deciding again. Lord, I don't want to be in today and tomorrow I'm out. Help me. Can you talk to God for yourself? This might not really be a time to speak in tongues so much. It will be a time for you to be sober and say, Father, help me to abide in You so that I will keep bearing fruit. Just for one moment, talk to God by yourself, for yourself. And the second one, talk to God. Lord, what is it You want to do with my life? Even though it might be painful, but that will make me become more fruitful. Do it. I give You permission. Talk to Jesus. Lord, Father in heaven, what is it that You will do in my life that will make me yield more to You? That will make me yield more to You. Yield in 100-fold. This year, my target is 100-fold. That is Your expectation over my life. I'd like you to talk to Him. Lord, I don't just want to be attractive. I want to be productive. I don't want to be that tree that Jesus walked up to. So attractive. By the time you get it close and do proper examination, no fruit. All makeup. No reality. No fruit. Ah.
throne of me, Lord.
Sing it gently.
Overthrow me, Lord, and be strong of me.
Overthrow me,
Lord, and be strong of me, Lord.
Sing it again.
Overthrow me, Lord, and be strong of me. Overthrow me, Lord, and me, Lord.
Lord, we absolutely surrender our lives to you. For you are the one that works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Now, of course, you have said, except we abide in you, we can do nothing. Lord, we have come again that you may strengthen our connection to the vine. Strengthen our capacity to yield. To yield the desires of the Father. Yeshua Mashiach, you are the true vine. We are most privileged to be branches, to be part of what and who you are. Lord, may we never be part of the ones that will be disqualified and taken out. Lord, we ask, O God, whatever it pleases you to do in order for us to yield more and become more productive, to be more fruitful, Father, we ask, O God, you will do with us. Even if it means you will prune us. We pray for those ones that are standing in front of you, not in front of any man. Yeshua, the scripture says, the shaking reed you will not break. The shaking reed, no matter how shaken, almost cut off, there is still a little joint from where you can do a repair. The shaking reed you will not break. The smoking flax you will not quench. No matter how smoky the fire is, and it looks like the fire is almost out, there is a way you fan back to flame the fires of fear of our heart. We pray for these ones that stand before you, not before any man. Do with them what you do to resuscitate and to revive and to renew the strength of your people. Lord, we want specially pray for your daughter that you have used for us this evening. The Bible says, he that asks, more shall be given us. The one that has not, even the one that he has, shall be taken away. Lord, because of that which he possesses, we ask that more shall be given unto us. We declare over our life a season of more. Lord, we ask, O God, that this oracle shall be preserved. She shall indeed be your mouthpiece. We ask for supply of the Spirit like an avalanche. We ask, O God, that your grace in this very year of the manifestation of great fruitfulness in the life of your daughter, grace, that grace will be profound. O God of all grace, that you make the definition of grace very visible in your daughter's life. Lord, Apostle Paul said, I labor more than they all, altogether more than all of them. He said, but not yet me, but the grace of God that is at work in me. I pray for your servant, Apostle Austin Opore, and the grace that you have put beside him, that this year you cause them to pray, to bring the frontier, a fresh frontier of grace to your people. Lord, that the light that is rising from the horizon, that is becoming more visible, will become more meaningful to them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for in your servant's life. As I hear your word, I hear you say, speak to him. Shall be a landmark here. Shall be a landmark here. Shall be a landmark here. Shall be a year to be remembered. Shall be a year of many memorials. Shall be a year of many memorials. Shall be a year of many memorials. We speak to you concerning the things that God has committed in your hand, that there shall be upgrade on every level. Say there shall be upgrade on every level. The people you do not know shall serve you. At the hearing of the ear, they shall cling unto you. Even strangers shall bow before you. Lord, we thank you for establishing the seat of your servant and enlarging it under him. For this is a season of possessing possessions. And the Lord will cause your feet to be strong. He will cause your standing to be more meaningful. We bring blessings to the house. As we move now, we see it as a token of a new beginning. And we declare the Lord will do a new thing. And from now it shall spring forth. We declare a day that begins the newness is today. We declare an order that is called new. And the newness is not that what God is doing, he has not done before. But the newness is another level. The newness is another level. The Lord says the newness is another level. And now you are going to count in different volume. For the volume of your barn has changed. That is an expansion of your capacity. Now the newness in this order is more. The newness is more. And for everyone that is joined to this tribe, that is the mark upon your life. We declare over your life a season of more. More fruits. More significance. In relevance, more. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you hear us always. We have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Celebrate Jesus. God bless you.
Hallelujah.